Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Matrix Moments. I'm Avnish Bajaj. The episode is special, exciting and a little bit scary as well, and I'll give you the context for that. I'm here with Ashish Mohapatra, who's the founder of Off Business, one of our star portfolio companies. The most interesting thing about this relationship, which is a very special relationship for me personally as well as for Matrix, is that Ashish used to be at Matrix. He was a venture capitalist before Better Sense prevailed. And actually, Better Sense has prevailed for him multiple times. He was at McKinsey prior. So then Matrix then decided to start out on his own. Business has done really well. Episode is a little bit scary because it is about Ashish asking me as a founder, asking a venture capitalist any questions. And for those of you who know Ashish well, that's probably a bigger risk that I am taking than investing in Ashish's company.
Well, to be very honest, I think most people still believe that I am at Matrix. And when I tell them that I have moved on from Matrix to become a founder, they refuse to believe, and refuse is with a capital R. Avnish and I actually share a special, I would say, bond in some ways. So we both have been VC founders, though in the reverse order. So it's in some ways a reversal of both order as well as this session. So he was a founder first and then became a VC. I was a VC first, got fired from Matrix and hence then became a founder. So glad to be a part of Matrix Moments and hopefully.
Firing is interesting because I got fired from Goldman and became an entrepreneur.
So I am sure you got fired from the other places too. Avnish has always been, just on the record, Avnish has always deflated his own achievements. He's a humble person, as you can see. I know that he got fired from both Goldman and Apple. Thank you. Okay, so Avnish, first of all, thank you for giving me the opportunity. I think I will represent the entire brethren of founders as I speak to you. So most of my questions, as you said, should be scary to you. So first of all, tell me, I think I see a lot of founders who come to me, particularly in NCR, who are aspiring founders, have just gotten into it, thinking of being a founder, probably have taken baby steps of getting the initial founding team together. Tell us a little bit about when do you think, in your opinion, is a founder investment ready? Because a lot of people come and tell me, hey, should I be putting in my own money or should I be getting VC money? You know, some of them are onto something. They all believe in their ideas and stuff like that. So they are passionate. They are, you know, they're almost there.
Yeah.
But what's your opinion?
Clearly no easy answer. But I would say when failure is not an option, when we think or when we feel that for this founder, failure is not an option, basis their life stage, basis putting all the eggs in one basket, but potentially also basis conviction in the idea. But if I had to separate the, you know about Matrix and intrinsics, right? If I had to separate the intrinsic from the extrinsic of saying conviction in the idea, I would go more in this bucket. And I love to see, I remember when you were leaving and you started a business which has nothing to do with what you are doing right now. And you said, sir,
that's how it should be.
Exactly. And you say, and we put it 5 million, right? And you said, ki wo to option hi nahi hai. Kuch to bana hi dunga. That conviction. See, because it's going to be a very, very, you know this, even your journey, you should recount. It's not easy. First, well, I don't know when you feel you hit PMF. Maybe it was a year and a half into it, right? So that level of grit that is required, that intrinsic desire, motivation, I'm going to call out Ruchi here because I know when you quit, she was pregnant and and both of you just, we are going to do this, right? At the most riskiest place in life where you're having your first baby, you're ready to take, that is, I think that's where a founder is ready. If there is always a plan B, ye nahi hoega to kuch aur karunga, I don't think you're ready.
What about a little bit down the road? Let's say he has the conviction, he's already put eggs in one basket, he's already started something, he's probably put in a little bit of money on his own. When is he VC ready? Let's say he's also taken a seed money as well.
Fair enough.
When is he a VC ready? When is he Matrix ready? A lot of people ask me that question. Yeah. I'm Matrix, right? So.
Yeah. No, but see, look, we make seed investments also.
Okay.
So it is not as much, I mean, with you, we made a seed investment, right? So I think, let me phrase it a little bit differently. Often when somebody is not VC ready or Matrix ready, we feel that there is a good business, but it's not a VC venture-backable business.
Mm.
And I don't want to be derogatory, but even a Kirana store makes money. It's a profitable business, but it is a lifestyle business, right? So I find that if the intrinsics are lined up, the reason we may say that this business is not VC ready or is because we feel it's not a venture fundable, you know, that hockey stick, non-linearity, or even if non-linearity, at least compounding 3-4x every year kind of a business. That's generally where the gap comes. Now, if you want a textbook answer, obviously VCs like to see proof of concept and this, that. But if you look at our investments this year, we have invested in so many entrepreneurs where we felt that if they hit PMF, it's going to be big, right? There was no business. It was a business plan.
Right. So in these cases, should they wait for you to find them, or should they, are there platforms for them to come out and seek you guys out? A lot of people ask me, should I be writing to 20 VCs at the same time? A lot of people say that, hey, I've met like 10 VCs. What is the right way to start an engagement for a partner?
So we are a bit different in the market, as you well know. We tend to respond to everything, but the world is changing. And I don't know if we can even keep up. So globally, even in India with most of the firms, get a warm intro. Get Ashish to write to Matrix, you will get a meeting, right?
I am not so sure, but please continue.
Thank you. But I think it's this concept of warm intro. Also, be clear, are you coming to brainstorm?
Right.
Or are you coming to pitch? And I think sometimes...
Would you encourage the former?
Yes.
Give us a good example.
With clarity. I mean, I just came out of a meeting. We haven't announced the investment yet. You know the founder. We brainstormed for 6 months before we converged on an idea. And by the way, for me as a VC, during that brainstorming, my conviction kept going up, even though the idea kept changing and getting dismissed. So I actually think if you set it up correctly, it's important to set it up correctly. If you're going for brainstorming, and also realize that VCs, everybody's busy, right? So being a little bit respectful of the time and setting it up correctly, I would strongly encourage brainstorming.
But are you saying that Matrix is very different on this front? Because typically what we founders, and I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of people, we think that, you know, we'll get 30 minutes with a VC, we have to have an elevator pitch.
For a pitch, yes. But for a brainstorming also, you'll get 30 minutes. Come structured, but set it up like that. And it's also... Like you said, I've also been a founder. Even I like to think of things and ideas, right? So it's actually fun.
But you wouldn't take it otherwise that, you know, the guy has not really thought it through. He's not really solved all parts of the puzzle.
Brainstorming, so like I said, we tend to respond to everything. But I would say a brainstorming session, you better come. Or it's far more advisable to come through a warm intro.
Okay.
Right? Let's say you intro me. I believe you've done the filtering.
Right.
Because you also recognize what the VC funnel looks like. And you are, you know, sympathetic of it. So you would have done the filtering.
Yeah. No, this is a big change from what VCs are perceived as. I'm hopeful that it's not just Matrix, but other people also who encourage
it
that
is,
as well.
It is going to become more and more. Actually, some of our peers do a better job than us on this.
Right. Okay. And tell us a little bit about what kind of founders do you invest in? Because there is this general perception in Matrix about Matrix in the market that you look at, you know, hungry, hustling kind of founders and all that. Has that evolved with time? Has that shaped along with time? Has it always been the same?
Which not hungry, not hustling founder has won?
They shouldn't win.
But I think there's a deeper question.
But give us a little bit of a nuance.
There's a deeper question. And I'll tell you, even from the time you were there, there's a huge change in the archetype of the founders. So if you remember, we discovered ourselves when we missed Kunal Bell, we found Bhavesh. You know, there was this whole archetype of Ritesh, all this, we will go change the world, fearless founders.
Right.
This cohort, so I would say 80% of our deal flow used to be these young 20-somethings cohort. Today, 70 to 80% of the deal flow is the experienced founders, 30s and 40s. Within experience...
That's your deal flow or that's what you...
As it turns out, also the investments.
Okay.
Also the investments.
So that's the market too.
That is the market. Today it's the market, and there were some articles about us backing a lot of repeat founders,
right, which
we have this year. So within experience, there's repeat, and there is L-1, people who have... See, until 3, 4, 5 years ago, where were the large companies? Where were the training grounds? We used to say, find people from Amazon, find people from Google. Today you have Flipkart, Myntra, Ola, Oyo. You know, all these have become breeding grounds. I know you have built a lot of your team from people as this. So that cohort is very interesting.
Right.
So that has changed. Our evaluation layer has had to change as a result.
Right.
So to your point, hungry, hustling, we used to really value, you know, 2 a.m. response and this and that. Versus some of these experienced founders also have a life. And there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
Right. And we need to respect that. They are much more deliberate sometimes and thoughtful. I believe both will win. But I have a theory. I believe the largest or large market cap outcomes may still come from these young, inexperienced
guys.
Because they have no baggage.
Right.
They are just going out there and trying to create. I mean, you look at Google, Facebook, like some of these really large companies. It's reimagining the future. And I think to reimagine the future, sometimes not having a past helps. Right. Mm. So I think some of these guys are just going to create very large companies. I think the hit rate of the experienced ones will be higher.
But your returns will be lower.
I don't know if the returns will be lower. If the hit rate is higher, net returns also, you know, more of them will succeed. So it will make up in aggregate. But they are very deliberate about choice of market. The other day, we had a Diwali event where I was asking Sachin, you missed that. I was asking Sachin Bansal, you know, how did you choose? And Bhavish says the same thing. They are thinking about profit pools in the market.
Mm.
They are thinking, and I know you think about this, you know, you have a profitable business. They think about GTM.
Mm.
Whereas the younger guys, they don't care about. They're like, oh, banana.
Just lenge. Size.
No, PMF, market. And by the way, even these guys are saying we won't take market risk. So those are the nuances. I would say median quality of entrepreneur has gone up many fold over the last few years.
The quality.
Quality.
This is on deal flow or what you've invested in?
Well, hopefully both.
Okay.
Meaning deal flow for sure, but hopefully we've also invested in the highest quality ones.
Okay, so tell us, make it a little more real. So, tell us a little bit about your portfolio in the sense that you've invested in a few. Your wins are very well known, right?
Yeah.
So, there's Ola, there is Quikr and a host of other stuff. So, tell us a little bit about where you've invested and you figured out that you picked up the wrong archetype of business or the founder, and how has it evolved? How have you learned from things that you
see? There are a bunch of them. I don't think those founders would like for me to speak about them, but let me tell
no
you
names
the,
basis.
On a no names basis. You know, one of the founders of Matrix in the US, I once asked him, I said, in your history, where have you seen the highest correlation with success? People would normally think it's team or market. Like Sequoia, for example, is very markets first. We say we are very founders first. Actually, most investors will say it comes down to timing, market timing, right? Mm. And you can't time timing by definition.
Mm.
I think where we have invested in great founders, mm-hmm. Where it hasn't worked, is either choice of market has turned out to be more limited than we expected, which I think also comes down to timing, that the market is not fully ready yet. It's not that it will never be ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's generally been that, and that's been the hardest investments, because you like the guys, they are grinding, they are working very hard, but you're burning through money, not seeing a great outcome for either side. I think there are some that will turn around. Again, I don't want to name them, but there are the ones that turn around or the ones that go, let's say, not so well and then change, is generally due to some other external factor, like hyper competition, right? Somebody is praying. Then I keep telling my founders, sadly, I've been through, I mean, we have all watched the Amazon Flipkart war and maybe Snapdeal war. Today, there's a food delivery war. I have lived through Ola Uber war. We have lived through Quikr OLX war. There's always war. And it should be expected. If it is going to be such a large category and worth so much, nobody's going to give it to you on a platter. You have to last out 18 to 24 months.
So tell us a little bit about, let's expand this a little bit. So is it just about the founder, or you believe that it is also about the broader founding team, initial set of employees? Do you actually put some, focus on that, or is it?
We don't enough, Ashish, and I think you were one of the founders who started out with, and I think I told you at that time, probably the strongest team we have seen out of the gate. See, there is no rocket science to it. Obviously, a great founding team is better than a single founder, right?
But do you actually give credence to that?
Not enough.
Does it result in a higher valuation for a bigger team than just a founder?
Yes. Okay. So if you look at this cohort of these last investments, you know, we've talked about making 20.
They would all be teams, I'm guessing.
it wasn't teams, but you knew that they had, let's put it differently. And again, I'll take your example. They had followership. They are, and hopefully not the Pied Piper, but where they go, people come. Hmm. We have started giving that far more value than we, maybe even in valuation. It generally doesn't come down to valuation, it comes down to check size. You're willing to take more risk.
Right.
Right, because ownership utna hi chahiye, so beyond a point, it's not going to be as much about valuation, right? So you're willing to take more risk. And I think my own personal learning is that I used to undervalue A, followership, and B, selling skills. Hmm. And that's somewhat related.
The selling skills you always had. No?
Well, undervalue a little bit, because I've realized that founders need to have excellent, founders with excellent selling skills will get more shots at the goal.
Right.
Whether it's because people follow them, because investors follow, basically people follow them. Whether it's investors, you know.
And to just change tracks, what if some of the founding team, which is a very common thing these days in the startup ecosystem, is founding teams actually split, they start different ventures, mostly amicably and stuff, some of the initial employees leave. So what? How do you deal with that? What do you suggest we do with that? I mean, obviously, the 30 plus years guys will actually find a more amicable settlement. They'll probably end up working together as well. So as a VC firm, how do you view it? Is it always negative? Is it something that you budget into when you get into some of these relationships?
So the way we budget into it, so we've been through maybe 10 plus such situations. They're generally very hard on the founder. We budget into it by not taking that risk, which is we are backing one key person.
Right.
And we are very clear. This goes back to your earlier question. Even if it's a 2 or 3 person founding team, lately, although we have broken this rule, in our business, one thing you realize is sooner or later you have to break the rule, right? So maybe we have backed one team where we haven't really figured out would we back this guy without that guy, but the chemistry is so strong. Hmm. So if that is the situation, we stress test the chemistry in our own ways. And you know some of those ways, references, going and figuring out,
right,
going drinking with them, all of that, right?
But would you let the founder have his own way?
Where we haven't been able to take that risk out, and this advice I'll give on camera is, and I think we've spoken about this in the term sheet discussion, always have reverse vesting, okay, because the equity also has to come back.
Hmm. Okay? But that's just 4 or 5 years, right?
No, but I mean, usually teams break up within the first year or two.
Okay.
100% of the cases, it's been in year one or two.
Right.
In 100% of the cases.
Right.
So that reverse vesting is critical for the founding team itself.
Right.
Two, what you said, well, two, deal with it immediately, clearly, but gracefully.
Right.
The message cannot be, the message has to be given with grace. The parting, you have to respect each other.
Right.
There, I think there is a challenge. I think generally people have been a little bit, but deal with it immediately, gracefully, recognize that this, and I think there's a karmic view, you know, which is, this is a small community. You want people to be saying good things about you, but deal with it immediately. I have always found where the problem has not been addressed immediately when it first surfaced. And I'm a little bit extreme in this. There are founders where they have floated the thought with me. And I have told them, if the thought has come into your mind, it is the answer.
Mm.
And every time I've found where they have said, nah, chalo, we'll give it 6 more months, it still played out like that.
Right.
And then
right.
You lose time.
And how do you deal with other founder problems? I think another issue that I used to face a lot of times in Matrix, as well as, you know, a lot of other companies that I haven't faced it myself, is people are not tracking to plan.
Yeah.
They haven't given you the adequate return as you would expect, right? So how do you deal with that? Do you get into their underpants? Do you stay away? Do you reimpose
fate? You know, it is a very tricky and very hard situation. But let me ask you this. How does a founder raise money from a VC?
How does a founder raise money from a VC? By making sure that he's beaten whatever he's promised.
No, when you haven't had a run.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think, in my opinion, if you can convince a VC that there is a large market at play, today, to be very honest with you, I only think of a large profit pool at play, and you believe that you have all guns blazing going after him, have a team together.
Yeah.
The only missing thing, in my opinion, is the money. Is when I would approach a VC.
And you would then in your pitch make some promises.
I would make some promises. Yes.
Okay.
I think
and,
the promises.
And what promises would the VC make to you?
Okay. So I think.
By the way, where I am going, I may become unpopular, and no founder may want to work with me. But we'll see. Yeah.
So I think the promise that I would make would be more an assertion to myself rather than to VC.
Yeah.
Because I believe that a good plan is actually very different from what you have.
Yeah.
A good plan which I believe I should make is the one that I beat by 10%. Yeah, I know the standard
matrix. But I agree with you. But what promise is the VC making to the entrepreneur?
The promise that VC is making to the entrepreneur is that if he tracks to plan, then he will at least do pro rata, if not more.
Yeah.
Right?
And if we end up in the situation you just mentioned, who's not kept their end of the bargain?
Me.
The entrepreneur, right? I think there is a little bit of a challenge, and we call ourselves founders first, which we are. But that doesn't mean matrix last. You know, the reality is I have a contract with you as a founder. Moral contract, actually, frankly, in a lot of our cases, emotional contract, legal contract, all of that, right? I have a fiduciary responsibility to my investors.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Genuinely, right? So, I think the challenge becomes that somehow the narrative shifts, which is that I have missed plan, but it's not because of the VC that you're missing plan, right? So, those are the hardest situations. Because remember, I'm a founder also before. I can empathize. Mm. But I will tell you, at Bazi, I was not meeting plan for 2-3 years. I told my VCs, I will never come to you for money. I fired half my company. Me and Suvir, we went maybe 60%. Started new business lines. Somehow hustled and figured out a way where we were self-sustaining.
Now, let's say you do some of that. Now, yeah. As a VC, what is the step that you would take? Would you get into the underpants? Would you be a little more operational in business?
I think my only request to founders, so we'll come to, I think a plan. I think sometimes people may say, yeah, why are VCs looking at this plan and whatever?
Right, right.
I think a plan is far more than a plan. A plan tells me, mm-hmm. you as a founder, what is your assessment of the market?
Right.
What is your ability to forecast your business?
Right.
What is your ability to identify the right business drivers, staff them accordingly? What are your management practices? What are your interventions? Because if everything is in place, you have been beating plan for the last 2-3 years. Every year you up your plan. So to me, not missing plan or meeting plan sometimes can get trivialized. I think it's far more than that. It tells you everything is falling into place or not falling into place, right? Now, in cases, in tricky situations where things are not falling into place, my request, and I've done this with a number of founders, and you know, one of them really took it to heart, and hopefully tomorrow is closing a $10 million round. I said, boss, take your destiny in your own hands. That's my only request. I'm not going to get into your pants. In fact, I am not going to call you, but I'm one phone call away. Because if I keep calling you, you will feel I'm breathing down your neck. And I know it's very tough. I've been through this myself, right? But don't come to me for more and more and more money. Please understand my fiduciary responsibility as well, right? Take your destiny in your own hands. As long as you are funded through profitability or you're funded through figure out a way, come up with new business models, hustle, figure stuff out, I am not going to breathe down your neck. Best ones, 1-2 years. Maximum, they come out of it and they start.
Right. Okay. So, just moving on, I think one of the questions that a lot of founders face, especially early into their business, is what value add they should expect from a VC. I think the standard stuff that most of them hear is that VCs are great sounding boards. Okay. Like Vikram, you have been great sounding boards to me. And frankly, it's because it's lonely at the top. You probably can't share things with employees or co-founders and stuff like that. So one is that. A lot of people talk about hiring, strategic interventions, market knowledge. Which of these is really real? And if you can quote a few examples, because I have also heard the other part of the narrative is that you should be the smartest person in the room.
No. That very early when I started, you know, Paul Ferry was the founder of Matrix. He said, if you are the smartest person in the room,
that's
right
off
that investment.
That's
right
wrong
off
that
investment.
Yes.
Right? In the US context, people talk about it as the role of board members. It could be the same as VCs. You can be a cheerleader. You can be the truth teller. You can be the domain expert. You can be the arms and legs. And if you remember, you and I used to talk about teach people how to fish, don't fish.
I have fished a lot myself.
I know.
And I realized late into my journey that was not
but
the right way.
I still fish because I think with the best guys, you have to earn your right to teach them how to fish. Right.
Mm.
So I still recruit. I still interview people myself. And I think... So I think there is strategic and there's tactical. The aspiration for a founder and for a VC is to be at that strategic thought partner level. And maybe even the crying shoulder, right? Mm. Because it is lonely at the top. I think if I achieve that with the founder, I'm in bliss, right? But you do on your way up there. You have to do work
and,
for
and
them.
What's the work that you think is most relevant?
So recruiting. I don't think it gets more important than recruiting. See, you built right from the start a very strong team. I think we genuinely can help at multiple levels, and we have a recruiting team for it, right? Business development, opening doors, you know, making people go for meetings. In India, people don't do it as much as they do in the US. And, you know, people will put in the call.
I mean, some of us actually feel shy to come to you saying that, hey, will I be perceived as somebody who cannot actually manage his own business and hence taking help from a VC who's...
See, the founders who make us the most money with least work for us, we will obviously love all the time. So let's get that straight. But I think, Ashish, it's a judgment call, right?
Right.
I don't think you'll ever be judged. And I think some of our best founders actually put the last slide, help needed from the board, right? I think the question is it the same thing over and over again? Mm-hmm. That means you are not building the muscle internally.
Mm-hmm.
If it's different things and non-incremental, you know, incremental versus non-incremental that we talk about, mm-hmm. I think it's absolutely we should be doing that.
Yeah. And what about sharing market intelligence and a lot of that, you know, confidential stuff? Can you share a lot with us? Can you tell us what's going on in other companies?
We can't share
and all that?
Confidential of other companies because, you know, that is just against the ethics of this business. But market intelligence, global intelligence, what is happening in different markets, organizing market visits to different markets, absolutely.
Right. Okay. And tell us a little bit about exit. So when should a founder start thinking about, you know, giving VC exit? Will you tell us way in advance that, you know, a year from now is when we'll think about it? Should we wait for that signal? Because I know that SHAs are more a commitment from our side. So
2 years from now, we need an exit.
From us?
Yeah.
Oh, please, at least give me a year's notice. Yeah.
No, but I do. Yeah. And I think, what is your exit? What do you want to do?
I will always first look for an IPO. I think we are well on the path to it. We're probably about 2 to 2.5 years away.
Yeah, yeah. And excellent. Ultimately, this industry will thrive when companies like yours start going public.
Okay.
The best news is that the current set of founders just thinks like that. And it is exciting. I wish...
But there is no other option, right? There are no M&As in the Indian market.
Well, no.
They may come once in a while.
M&As will come. But ultimately, for me also as an investor, if you're going to go public and it's in a duration where I have to extend my exit by a year, I will. Because the ultimate value creation comes with IPO. Now, the reality though is we are fund with certain life cycles, which
right.
is why we put 5 years, 6 years, it gets negotiated back and forth.
Right.
What is starting to happen, which is a sign of maturation in the Indian ecosystem, is that because IPO is becoming an option, because founders are not building to sell, we have a new secondary market that has opened up.
Right.
All these later stage guys who come in looking out 2 years, it is a win-win. It gets the pressure off you to say, yeah, Matrix Co, I have to get an exit because somebody will come and give me your partial exit. Right? It works for them because they can also anchor your IPO. So I think the market is kind of getting to that stage. A related question is, as an investor, it is very clear for me, actually it's not very clear because whenever the exit option is there, you feel more greedy.
Right. and you stay on.
And the exit option goes away. But I think as a founder, just reiterating this, you guys should build to not to sell. You can just build to go public, and that is the most exciting part. It's the biggest service you can do to the Indian startup ecosystem.
Right. So talking about exits, give me a little bit of sense about, I know Matrix has done a few recent exits as well. Were there investments wherein you thought that they weren't making too much money and they actually ended up making good money for you on exits and stuff like that? And what kind of things that you did say? Or were they always momentum exits?
No. So I would say somewhere between 18 to 36 months of an investment, you know the answer.
Okay.
You know the answer. You know
that doesn't change. Does it go downward?
Yes, sometimes. But let's not talk about edge cases. I think 80 to 90% of the time, between 18 to 36 months, you know the answer. And then you have to be disciplined enough to stick to the answer,
right.
Which is this may be a base hit. So when you're getting the base hit, 2-3x, take it. This is a flyer, ride it as far as you can. And by the way,
communicate
meeting,
that you know.
Meeting and beating. Did you meet your plan? I don't even know if you had a plan. But I think for the first 18 months, probably.
Yeah, we didn't. To be very honest with you, we were meeting our numbers, but we were not very sure. Yeah, we were not very sure that we were building a profitable.
And last two and a half, 3 years, you've been
every quarter.
The most leading indicator of the home run is companies start beating plan consistently.
So. Right. So, Avi, tell me, what is your preference? So, is it always a founder who you believe that is involved? When should a founder be more strategic, more operational? Who do you back? Does it change? Do you help them grow along the journey?
So, I read a great analogy in a VC book, which is, you know, we call 0 to 1, 1 to 10 and 10 to infinity, right?
Like, so, I was always 0 to 1.
So, 0 to 1, you are hacking your way through a jungle.
Right.
Okay, you have the machete or whatever, axe, and you're just hacking your way through the jungle. 1 to 10, you're driving on a dirt road, probably in an SUV.
Right.
Okay. And 10 to infinity, you are the driver of a bus that's on a highway.
Right.
You tell me, is it the same person?
Right.
No. But the best people are all weather and they figure
this
out.
And in your understanding, who's the one who evolves? How do you help him along that journey? Or can you help him along the journey?
You can help him along the journey. And you can help him along the journey by, see, you can take a horse to the water. But
give us a real example.
I think you have grown a lot. And I think that hustle to planning, to thinking IPO, to profit, I think you made profit an objective maybe 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
That's hacking your way to the dirt road, to the highway, right? Now, carrying a team, your LinkedIn post, everybody should see, but every Sunday, that newsletter that goes out and there is a message of the week and message of the month, that's large scalable organization behavior. That's the driving the bus on the highway, right? Before, when you started, I remember you were on the road all the time in all these small cities going and meeting the customers. That's hacking your way through the jungle. So the best ones are able to transcend. And we have to recognize that they are special. And that's how it works.
And how can VCs actually help people along that journey?
Give us a real example. I think you create exposure. So, taking the horse to the water.
Within the portfolio, within the network,
you take them in different settings, you expose them to, we did a founder's retreat in Israel, create exposure amongst yourselves. You were very inspired by Pathy as the founder.
Yeah, I still continue to have that relationship. Yes,
so that's what you do.
Yeah, okay. So, as founders, one of the things that is of interest to us is that how do we deal with VCs when they're like, and this is my personal example, I gained a lot from my Matrix relationship in the first 1 year, a little less in the next 2 years. Now I've moved on, I have four other investors and all that. So how do I deal with early stage people who are on my cap table? What is the best way to keep, I always keep people informed, but what is the value that I can extract?
No, I think it's great. The less, like I said, see, for us also.
No, more from my perspective is to say what value
for
can
us it
have
works very well because lesser time, more money. We have to be able to take on more portfolio companies and do that same
sure.
work. I think you should just have that same conversation that create the early stage VCs still have the network to create more and more exposure. I remember you and I had a chat in this JW Marriott maybe a few months ago. And you had pushed to say next level. I think that's how you extract the value. Can you tell me something that I'm missing? And I think that is a reasonable question to ask.
So I'll tell you the prelude to this question. I was meeting a prospective investor and I told them, hey, whatever plan you shared with me, there was a plan around the next round and stuff. I said, let me just bounce it off with Vikram.
Yeah.
Vikram is the member on board from Matrix. And his immediate retort was, hey, they won't even do ProRata. Why do you want to share with them?
Yeah.
So. When do you?
We haven't done ProRata in Ola for a while.
You didn't do ProRata for me in the last couple of rounds.
So, but fortunately, we still speak a lot with, I still speak a lot with Bhavish. So I think that's the thought partnership, no? Because somebody who knows you, your entire journey, I think can still add value without ProRata.
Yeah, welcome
the value add should be super ProRata.
So, building on that, are there times when you stop supporting a company? When do you decide? Ola is a great example, right?
Yeah.
You could have continued investing in that and still made excess.
Yeah.
So is there a cap in terms of where
it's,
you would go?
Yeah,
is it
that's
20 million?
I think more VC fund mechanics. So typically you'll go up to 8 to 10% of your fund maximum in a company. And typically we will do 3-4 rounds in a company. And that's standard. And by the way, if we didn't do that, there would be no space in the cap table for the new people to come in. Right. So many times, even in your cap table, we've been asked to cut back. I know you said didn't do prorata, but we've been asked to cut back. Right. And that's fine. It works for us.
Right, so. Right. And tell us, from your learning, which kind of founders or what kind of initial behaviors you've seen in terms of people who've actually changed, evolved and all that? What are some of the early traits that you look for?
Curiosity. I think if there is one trait, so grit and all that helps you. It helps you get the company going. It helps you hack through that jungle, not to repeat the analogy too much. Ultimate trait is that learner profile. And I know you used to talk about learner profile, playing to your strengths, growth mindset. All of those lingos, they matter. They really matter. And the best founders are sponges. They are, I think the person that I meet, like Bhavesh, he'll still pepper me with 20 questions. Just that curiosity, that ability to learn from by osmosis, the ability to be exposed in an environment and take the best out of it. Or what, or see that, oh, hey, this is a watch out. I may be doing a mistake like that. That's the ultimate indicator and it's very apparent. You just see the trajectory in a person as you're interacting with them.
Great. Thank you. I mean, curiosity is something we would all like to have. Tell me a little bit about yourself in this journey. You've been around for like 15 odd years investing. What keeps you going till now? Is it
people
about
like
meeting?
You, Ashish? My passion is the founders. But I think we have to end on a lighter note. So why don't you tell people a little bit about what you discovered about working with me, which will probably put this question in a different light.
Okay, to be very honest with you, working with Avi was a harrowing experience in the beginning. The reason for that is that Avi was extremely detail-oriented and I was not. I will give you two instances of it. The first instance is the following, that when I first sent Avi something to read, Avi was my last boss. He's the last person I reported to, and I reported to him for 4.5 years. So when I presented my first thing to him, I realized Avi actually goes through everything and he figured out a lot of mistakes on the deck, on the plan and all that. So I kind of, you know, I'm an innovative, creative guy as some of us
Jugadu.
Know, Jugadu guy. So I came up with this plan that whenever you send Avi anything, you actually, you know, you do mistakes on the page numbers or you would do very silly mistakes, like you would spell matrix wrongly or put matrix partners India with something else. And, you know, Avi will bash you up, he'll catch that up front. He'll bash you up for that and then
he'll miss
everything
the whole
else will be forgotten.
Okay, on that note, Ashish.
Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you. Great to have you. And thank you for doing this. Really appreciate it.
Great
to be
much.
Great to be partners with you.
Thanks.
Thanks, you. Everybody.
Thank you for listening. And you can find the transcribed version of this podcast on matrixpartners.in. You can also follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for more updates.